Hello, 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 hello. All right, this is the new way I talk. Hi, everybody. How you doing? How are you doing? All right. This is going to be a long opening, but I got to do what I got to do to get my head clean. So thank you. I'm going to start the show by apologizing to somebody. I got a tattoo today because... Now, I wanted a tattoo for a while, but back a little while ago, a listener by the name of Kyle said, hey, why don't you do it on Tat Tuesdays on Preston and Steve? Now, we did it on Tat Thursdays, but nevertheless, I wouldn't have thought of it if it wasn't for Kyle. And then today, or 3 or 4 days ago, I completely forgot to invite him to the show, which I told him I would. So, Kyle, thank you, and I apologize. But thanks to Kyle, I got an awesome, well, beginnings of an arm sleeve, a half arm sleeve, thanks to Kyle. So thank you, Kyle. A lot of little things, but you know the way I am. I'll feel better if the show starts and I get all this out of the way. The t-shirt store. It's up. Go to our Facebook page, and it tells you, and it puts a link to where you have to go get them. We have the bailout shirt. We have the grilled cheese shirt. And there's one more shirt that's going to be available in a week and a half or a week. It's the Todd Glass Show, Tuesdays at 9, right after the Marc Maron Show. So there's that. This is going to be a weird one, but there's a, you know what, when we talk about, you know that old riddle, me Chinese, me play joke, me put pee-pee in your Coke? Geez, what if it's someone's first time listening to the show? They'll be like, sounds like a great show, if that's what they're discussing. In the context, you'll understand. Well, I referenced the listener that suggested it, and then a few times, for some reason, I go she, but I know it's a he. So now when it happens, you'll be like, okay, at least he knows. There's a piece of music that we use over and over and over in the show today. I forgot to give the person a shout-out that sent it, so thank you, Mike. You know who you are. You'll hear the song. We play it over and over. It's just this weird, happy, circus-like music, which I am addicted to. So thank you, Mike. Samuel L. Jackson, whoever sent us that in, Jesus, what a week we lost everything. Thank you. Re-email me and tell me who sent the Samuel L. Jackson thing in. Because that was just awesome. Now here's the last thing. Who's going to be 25 on the 26th? You're like, wait a second, that's me. Now there could be more than one, but you have a friend named Kevin? Huh? Sejan? Oh, I hope I'm saying your name right. Oh, do I? Well, happy birthday. I know your girlfriend's not there, Kevin's not there, but you know what? I'm here with you. Happy birthday, brother. All right. And then, okay, here's the show today. Now, remember I said we don't edit the shows as much as we used to in the beginning? Now, I try to edit, like, virtually nothing. Now, sometimes we take breaks. Oh, somebody said one day, they go, I like when you say, hey, how long are we into the show? Because then you can tell how much we edit out. To George Carlin, sometimes we go, we'll take a break, and we don't, so it throws the timing off. So it seems like we cut out more than we don't. But we genuinely, you know, virtually cut out nothing. Except today, here's what happened. Oy, oy, oy. Now, the good news is, the only part we really lost is me and Doug talking about the same thing for an hour. And no, everyone knows it's fun to hear two people that are drunk talking about the same thing for an hour. So that's something happened with the sound, and that's what we lost. You know what? It sucked because we had like a 3-hour show. But when I found out the part that it was, I was like, oh, okay, I'm good with that. I had a lot of fun with Doug. He was silly. He was fun. And we really had a good time. Doug was very, I haven't seen him in a while. It was good to hang with him and his manager. And It was a lot of fun. So we lost some of the show, but all the silly stuff, I was so glad we didn't lose. So here I am. I'm going to be at the PJ Ryan's tomorrow night, two shows, 7:30 and 9:30. By the way, I'm not just saying this. That place, you know how small it is. And we even cut back on a few seats so it wouldn't be squished. Because last time I felt like we just had people squished in there too much. So if there's any seats left, I think we took out like 10 seats. So it's really small this time. So, I think there might still be a few seats left. So just call over there. All right, that's it. All right, everybody. You good? Thanks for the emails. All right. Bye. Enjoy the show. Okay. All right. Kyle, you're good? Oh, that's right. Shout out in the beginning and the end. All right. Bye, everybody.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
This is the pre-show. People should know what we talk.
Hey, it's the Todd Glass Show. The Todd Glass Show. Everything is better on the...
I like it. Do you want to do a cold opening with that?
Oh, I thought that was my teleprompter.
We have cue cards.
I give people... You start talking. Answer a serious question, and then I'll back like, no, that's what you say. So, Doug, how you been? Right there.
Oh. I'm sorry. The Todd Glass Show, the Todd Glass Show. Everything is better on the Todd Glass Show. It's the best podcast you'll ever know, because everything's better on the Todd Glass Show.
A very funny guy, Todd.
Oh, my God.
Glass.
It's fun. It is fun already. I know
you
I say that every week.
Call me back this
you don't have any headsets.
He doesn't need headsets.
Ever again, because we're done.
The Todd Glass Show launches August 12th.
Todd. Hey, it's
hello. Hello. Hello.
Listen, man, I really want to come on the podcast. I've got stuff to promote.
Comedy Central presents Todd Glass.
Hello.
Hello.
Todd Glass.
Hello. Ryan. Hello, is Doug Stanhope there today?
Yes, sir. Please just let the opening theme run through.
Yeah, I saw Doug Stanhope about a month and a half ago. I never had so much fun. He was there with that Jeff Tate.
Sir, shut the fuck up.
I'll tell you what, that's a funny man. I enjoyed that show. I never know what to do.
From the opening. Oh, my God. This is when everyone fucking starts paying attention.
High atop Black
they realize
Horse.
It's a serious show. Podcast my ass.
The Todd Glass Show.
Yes. Guess what? Joe did us another little thing. Joe from Portland. I love that guy. You're welcome to my world. Welcome to Todd's world, motherfucker.
Welcome to Todd's world. Dimmers on the lights. Atmosphere, I guess.
That's right.
That's the way to unwind. Step into his house. Comfort. Surprise. Welcome to Todd's world. Built with you in mind. Come if you're invited.
This is also Brian can hear it.
All of the prep is done. Look and you will notice.
Giving bits a whirl. It's faded out.
See, I feel like I should...
Oh, you can do anything. I love that.
I know, but with that song, I feel like I should be stretched out leisure suit style.
I think that song is what I'm going to listen to when I go away for this vacation. Just lay on a chair, listen to my own jingles. To me, that's a true vacation.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I don't go anywhere.
It doesn't
but
have
I,
to be anywhere.
I made up something.
In his house, just as long as there's jingles.
I don't. I always say I don't really care. Do you go on? Well, hold
yes,
on.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, everybody. Doug Stanhope's our guest.
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
All right, enough of that. I love to be the radio guy. It little just burst into that. You're listening to The Todd Glass Show. All right, so here's what's going on today, everybody. Hello. As normally, I'm going to get through some stuff. There's the music cues right over there. Chris is here. Doug Stanhope's here.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, we can applaud.
Come on, we can do better than that, people.
Hold on, you know what? That's true. Whenever you do a radio show, the applause always sounds like it. Why can't an applause sound like, no, there's something going on there? Ladies and gentlemen, and that means you got to commit, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, in studio, Doug Stanhope. There you go. Okay. By the way, since we're on, and then we're going to get to everybody. We have guests here. We have a listener, Matthew, is here. And is that your friend, Kiki? There you go. K-E-Y. K-E-Y is the way I'm going to be looking at it. And then Kale is here.
Hello.
How you doing, Kale?
Wonderful.
Kale's a friend of mine I've known for many years, and we've tried to, you know, hang out for a long time, but, you know, Kale does mushrooms and disappears off the face of the earth. But he's... So Kale's here, Katie's here, and Brian is
Brian. Doug. Brian is my friend.
Oh.
When I called Todd Glass, I said, "Hey, would it be awkward if I brought my friend with me?"
And I said, "No,
I know, but he's my manager, but." I didn't want to say that because I don't want you to picture like
Can
some
I tell
fucking
you?
Barry Katz showing up like he's looking for talent.
Can I tell you? You were right for doing that. Because when he came in, I didn't look at him that way. He just seemed like, oh, nice.
But he doesn't work for anyone but me. We're friends, right. And he just happens to manage me. But I hate that.
I know.
There's a stigma to that word that is right for being there.
Yeah, yeah.
But no. I always have to caveat Brian Hennigan. No, he's a guy. He's one of us.
I like that you did that. You know what I liked about him the best? He was didn't have any headsets. Brian is the only one here without headsets, but he was really grooving to the song without hearing it. I thought, I like this fucking guy. Who's looking in the window at cars? Play the elephant walk music, and if they start walking...
Oh, I love it when you do this.
Maybe, hold on. Come on, start walking. Come on, walk. Walk. Oh, look at the guy on the bike. Oh, my God, that's...
Holy school bike.
Shit, a girl came by on a bike.
Yeah, but one of those like oldie school kind of beach.
All right, and then of course Daniel Kino is here.
Oh, what's up?
And then also Sensitive is here. It's a packed house today. And Irk. So there we go. Look, I'm the king of intros. Let's get this out of the way, and then I'll feel better. Give me 10 minutes, Doug, and then I'm all yours, and we're gonna have a great time.
I'm in no hurry. I'm not even drunk yet.
Well, I'm drinking a little Jack and Coke today. Somebody sent us this mystery intro, and we don't know who it is, but I hate that somebody sent something to the show, and then we never used it, and they think we just put it at the wayside, and we don't do that. So I think this could be worked into our new intro. And if you're out there, well, I'm sure you're out there, send us that it's you that did this, because I love it.
From Black Horse Motors on the La Cienega Strip, in beautiful Los Angeles, California, it's the Todd Glass Show, starring Todd Glass. And now, here he is, Todd Glass.
I think this is Mike. Mike from Florida, maybe. Isn't that sad? I don't know anything, Daniel. But I know that. It's like I don't know anything at all, but I hear that jingle. I go, I think that's Mike from Florida, and I bet I'm right. All right, so we got that. The festival was fun. Over at the
LA Podcast.
Yeah, the LA Podcast Festival was fun. I'm really ripping through this stuff. And then even though the listeners say slow down, take your time. Yeah, okay. So we had fun at the LA Podcast Festival. What are you doing over there? What are you getting?
Just making a
drink. No, really.
Sorry.
I want to watch you. Oh God, it's so. Oh. Oh, my God, are you fucking shitting me? Oh, my God, and you know me, Sensitive. Thought you'd reach over with... You know what? Thank God that I grew up listening to the Howard Stern Show, because otherwise I'd think, oh, we'll stop. No, we're fucking doing it. I learned that from listening to his show. I can't believe you, but I love you to death. And now, oh my God, you're like, I don't know how much I'm doing this comedically or not, but why did you think, like, you had all the time in the world to prepare a nice drink for the show, and then we'll take a break, and then you can refresh your drink, that you're over there leaning over and getting things, and then I hear the refrigerator opening.
It's my fault. I sold him on the vodka soda with the splash of grapefruit. He was enjoying a beer.
You know what,
I pushed it. I'm a pitch man naturally, without even intending to be so. He had to race to the refrigerator.
I'm just glad he's having fun. What if it's because you, I won't get mad at you. I'm like, you know what? Have fun. Okay, so are you done? I don't even like the cup you're drinking it in. Everything is wrong that you're doing.
I'd really like a rocks glass myself, but...
There you go. Give me this, and give me that. Hold on, everybody. I still got the show. What do you have there? There you go, okay?
Todd Glass is now going Kristen Bale.
You got that?
Did he just pour that on the ground?
Yeah. He just... Yeah, no, he slopped it over his head.
Need anything else in there? Vodka?
I'll get a napkin. I'll clean this up.
No, no, I don't want to clean up. Sit down. Everybody sit down. Everybody sit down. Sit down. Do you want vodka in there?
I'm okay.
You're okay. Okay. Let me be honest. If I was a fly on the wall, do you think, yeah, why did I do that? I know Todd's a little neurotic. We're editing this all out.
No, no way. Leave it in.
It is funny. I comedic'd it up a little bit. So, Brian, I know you don't know me, but it's just I like things settled. I want. By the way, it's weird. I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to be comfortable, but I also like there's a, you know, there's now, Mikhail, I just noticed you're, do you want to refresh your drink?
Well, I grabbed two because I knew
you. Look at you. Very smart. All right. There we go. Okay. So let's
you need a bartender. That's what you need.
A waiter.
You know, you're
right. Where the keyboards are. Just have some like the guy from The Shining,
like a
kind
butler.
Of old.
Yeah.
And just serve nothing
but
Mr. like.
Mr. Glass, you've been here all along.
Yeah. Serve like Manhattans and old fashions and just old school drinks.
Done. Done.
All right.
Even if we don't have a typical bar, we can have someone in here.
Can we have a bartender / keyboard player?
Maybe. Yeah. Hey, Lou, we're in LA. I'm sure anybody. I think what you're saying is keyboard player that would.
You can email
do
us at todd@nerdist.com.
Throw on a 1940s tuxedo
player and make drinks.
I know, this is the same guys. They're not buying a car. They're taking pictures of it. All right, turn this off. Let's really rip through this stuff here. So the videos are up online. We put a slideshow from the year together. Oh, by the way, when we did the
Podcast Festival?
Podcast Festival, I don't see movies every time I do Doug Loves Movies. Doug, I'm going to ask you to weigh in this, but be honest. I don't see movies. So I thought an idea. I'd ask someone, what's a movie they saw? And I could fake it, and I bet Doug would never know. Right? He'll just, you know, make up. So, but I told him I was going to do it, and then they all said, no, you would have never gotten to fool us. I said, if you didn't know, like at this point they knew.
Yeah.
But I said, if you didn't know. So I go, okay. They go, let's make pretend. I go, don't overthink it. Don't go, oh, in 23 seconds in. I thought they really got it. Like, just be casual. We're hanging out. And, you know, would I be able to pull it off? I asked a few key questions. So I go, so the first question out of the bat, and by the way, I've been thinking about this all week. Daniel goes, okay, what was the movie that I was going to pretend I saw?
Looper.
Looper. Daniel goes, what was your favorite part? Nobody would ask that. Nobody would ask that. At least that's my opinion. What was your favorite part? Do you agree, Brian? Brian, I'm fucking loving
you. If you were
more
15
and more.
Years old when that was the thing,
what was your favorite part?
I'll give
Who's
you that
your favorite
one.
Boy
you
band member?
Yeah.
You will.
I will.
And you know how I know this, that you can get away with it? That if Doug didn't know and he just goes, what you Looper? So the questions were like, oh, what'd you think of that ending? And I went, you know what? I know some people weren't happy with it, but I liked the movie. I liked the movie.
Did you mention Doug Benson yet?
Yes, I mentioned.
Every time you say Doug, I think you're talking to me.
Doug Benson.
All right.
Here's how I know you can fake people out. I'm not into sports that much. Mm-hmm. Well, like we talked about, the playoff games I watch. So, but over the years, when I'm sitting next to someone on a plane, it doesn't matter. No. You just go, "Who? What are you going to do?" Well, you know. So, anyway, I don't know why that, but I'm glad.
Better luck next year.
Better luck next year, right. Okay. All right, everything's good. Some people send me emails sometimes, and they say, hope this doesn't come across cheesy. Now, look, I'm being totally genuine. It never does. Anybody that bears their soul or says something kind, it always resonates with me, and it means a lot to me. If I was going to ask anything, it was just try to keep them shorter once in a while because I do read every single one. Look, I hope there becomes a – I hope there becomes a point in my career where I can't. But what I mean by that is I read everyone, but I get there's people that can't. I get it. It's not like you just can at one point. Now, guess what? I'm going to do it until I can't do it. And right now, I can do it. It gets a little bit much sometimes, but with Chris helping me, I can do it. So I don't, when you say when someone bares their soul and tells me something personal or something nice.
So what you're saying, that goes directly to Chris.
No. I talk and Chris, but I just figured out voice activation on my phone. So now I've been doing them by myself too. You know, you just press the little.
Nah, I don't know anything.
Yeah, I'm not that great either. But anyway, so there's that. Just give me a second here. This is like back to me all the time. Just try to keep them short if you can, but don't worry too much. I know sometimes, but short does help. Don't believe. Oh yeah, we did a show with Paul. Nah, I'll talk about that on the opening. Where do we go? Okay, you know the somebody sent me in. I don't know what to do. You know the. God, what is wrong with me today?
Someone just sent me a screenplay that they wrote with about a 8 or 9 paragraph setup about why I know you probably get these all the time. Like, and I get to the end, I'm like, I just read a screenplay. Just your setup to asking me to read this because I'm not doing movies.
and you do read, so you do read.
Yeah, emails. Yeah, I read them, but I'll skim the first and last sentence of each paragraph when it's, you know, yay long, and I'm not going to read it anyway. But yeah, keep that short. Just go, I wrote a screenplay if you're interested.
Most people that send me them are awesome. The length is perfect. But the only reason I pointed that out is because people sometimes...
We don't want to talk about the awesome people. Let's talk about the dicks that email Todd Glass.
You know what? I got to
shut your mouth.
You.
That guy, this guy's, he's sitting above a whole... fleet of Ferraris here.
I am
anywhere not reading your emails.
I'm trying to think if there's any. But no, most people. Well, most people are positive for the podcast. The other email address that's just people that maybe don't listen to the podcast once in a while a complaint. Well, somebody we talked about with Paul F. Tompkins last week. We talked about some kids that are gay that are having trouble telling their parents, and somebody tweeted me. Is that really even an issue anymore? And I was like, I was wanting to go, well, I'm glad that it isn't you. But yeah, for a lot of kids, it is, unfortunately. But that's not even that mean. But, you know, that's just, okay, hold on here. You know, I'm going to play this. Have you heard, and don't worry, it's not all gay-themed show, Doug.
Oh, don't worry.
that's my paranoia.
We're going to make it that way, baby.
the city council guy that went up in front of city council, have you heard this?
No.
He goes up in front of city council. He's a pastor. I think it's better to tell people that there's a twist at the end, and it's worth it. So play this, and then we'll talk about it. It's 3 minutes, but like I say a lot, let it breathe, because I thought this was the most brilliant way to exploit the ridiculousness of some what's going on today. So go ahead, play that. He's in front of, you know, when they talk and they're in a semicircle room and they're all teared up towards the back, like the Irvine Improv. this is a pastor. He really is a pastor. I wasn't sure. Oh, is he faking like he was a pastor to do this? I think he really is a pastor.
Yeah.
And this is his speech. Do you have it?
Good evening. My name is the Reverend Dr. Phil Snyder. I was born and raised in Springfield, Missouri, and I stand before you this evening in support of this ordinance. I worry about the future of our city. Any accurate reading of the Bible should make it clear that gay rights goes against the plain truth of the Word of God. As one preacher warns, man and overstepping the boundary lines God has drawn by making special rights for gays and lesbians has taken another step in the direction of inviting the judgment of God upon our land. This step of gay rights is but another stepping stone toward the immorality and lawlessness that will be characteristic of the last days. This ordinance represents a denial of all that we believe in, and no one should force it on us. It's not that we don't care about homosexuals, but it's that our rights will be taken away. And unchristian views will be forced on us and our children, for we'll be forced to go against our personal morals. Outside government agents are endeavoring to disturb God's established order. It is not in line with the Bible. Do not let people lead you astray. The liberals leading this movement do not believe the Bible any longer, but every good, substantial, Bible-believing, intelligent, Orthodox Christian can read the Word of God and know what is happening is not of God. When you run into conflict with God's established order, you have trouble. You do not produce harmony. You produce destruction and trouble, and our city is in the greatest danger that it has ever been in its history. The reason is that we have gotten away from the Bible of our forefathers. You see, the right of segregation... I'm sorry, hold on. The right of segregation is clearly established by the Holy Scriptures, both by precept and example.
1 minute.
I'm sorry, I brought the wrong notes with me this evening. I've borrowed my argument from the wrong century. It turns out what I've been reading to you this whole time are direct quotes from white preachers from the 1950s and the 1960s, all in support of racial segregation. All I have done is simply take out the phrase racial integration and substituted it with the phrase gay rights. I guess the arguments I've been hearing around Springfield lately sounded so similar to these that I got them confused. I hope you will not make the same mistake. I hope you will stand on the right side of history. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Thank you.
So, Kiki, you seem to be were you a little confused that was all?
No, it took me a while to catch on. Yeah.
So here's what I think is number one, that why, you know, if something happens at a comedy club, it ends up on every, you know, it goes viral, but then also the news stations pick it up. It starts viral in social media, then the news stations all pick it up. Why they haven't picked this up? It's brilliant. I've said this forever. I never thought to actually take the scripture. I've always compared civil rights to anybody's rights. It's like I've said, but I just think
I'm looking around like I want to, like I'm Obama at a debate and I need a piece of pen and a paper because I keep thinking of a million things I want to get to.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. Let's do that now because then you won't be stressed.
It's not
out
a debate. I'm not.
Show.
I'll be
no,
on
no,
your
I get it. So here's the other thing that I thought. And by the way, let's do this because look in for the Todd Glass show.
You're
this
not going to have that long.
Just getting started. So hold on. Let me. Here's what
you talk. I'll scribble and laugh.
Okay. Here's what I thought about it. First thing I try to do is go. I get people are going to say if you look at the comments before I even you can't compare the gay rights to civil rights. I'm willing to what I call make a clean argument. Okay, which we'll probably we can spend time comparing it, but for now let's just make it clean. You're right. You can't compare it. It's different because you know there's people out there that are going to hear that and go. But where
black people don't listen to your show. No one's going to have that argument but in this situation.
For what it's worth,
let's be pragmatic.
But there are a shit ton of black people that are fine with comparing it. And I think that's always important because like I've said this a million times. If I was black and I heard someone on a show going, "Oh, black people don't want," there's a shit ton of black people going, "Yeah, fucking compare it." There are some that say don't. But forget about that. Let's say you shouldn't. Let's say they win. You're right. You can't compare it. Let's go down that path. You can't. It's not the same.
And it's weird. Jews are kind of the middle ground when you can kind of compare it because some of them look like they're Jews and some of them look like they're closeted.
I was a closeted Jew. Uh-huh. I used to tell, I've told this story. I'm half Jewish. I'm half Jewish. The other half's Jewish, too. So it's. But what I think is funny that, so for the people that say you can't compare it, where are the comments? Try to follow me here because I think this is a legitimate point. You'll never win the port to compare it. Where are the comments from people that don't think you should compare it to the gay plight or whatever you want to call it, but absolutely see that for being the as nauseous and gross as it is, that in organized religion, and again, I'm very fair, Doug, you know, I don't believe in God, but that's okay. In organized religion, we're not talking about God because I know there's people who believe in God that don't believe in organized religion. Where are the people that are just nauseated that happened within organized religion? That not that the story should be this. Who was on the forefront of making helping with civil rights? Well, of course, it was the church. No, that they were lagging behind. Why don't I read comment after comment after comment of religious people that are like, that is embarrassing, using words and using, you know, when they're up at the pulpit with the girl and the Lord, where is that? When they read that, well, even if you don't compare it to the gay thing, just compare it to what that, first of all, no one's denying that happened. So don't compare it to the gay thing. Just compare it to what it was. That happened. That they were preachers saying that if we make black people go to school with white people and all, they were just saying he's reading scripture. There's not one fucking comment with religious people that say, "Oh my God, that is mortifying. You're asking
religious people to be self-aware and to use logic. That's really not.
What I'm saying is, if you asked them if they were mortified by that, if you said, "Was that wrong? Was the way they treated black people wrong?" They would go, "They know to say yes."
I will be devil's advocate and say, "Well, that's what we do when we say, and rightly so, I believe that. Hey, we weren't slave owners. That happened a fuck ton of years ago. That wasn't us." And that's what the religious people do. Oh, though they made a lot of mistakes. They used to torture people in the Spanish Inquisition. They did a lot of, but now it's right.
Well,
everyone
thinks
no. Everyone erases every mistake. Everyone's been wrong most of the fucking history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone thinks, oh, now it's perfect.
Well, that's funny you say that, because that's what we talked about. Me and Eric is that. So what are they saying that, like, no, like, if you would listen? Because, and I know we talk about that. How many of our listeners? I'm sure that we're preaching to the choir, but yeah. Not always. So I think it's worth talking about it.
Oh, it is worth. Yeah. I was just making fun.
No. I know you're not. I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you. So what they're saying is, I would imagine, if I try to be the voice of the person that's echoing what you just said, they're saying, no. Here's the difference. Those people were treated unfairly, but wrongfully. What's going on now is right. That's the difference. Black people or women before they could vote, that was wrong. You're comparing it to a group of people that are being treated unfairly, but fairly being treated unfairly. You can't, you know, to me, that's their only defense. That, like, no, that's, anyway. But I thought that was, that, let me tell you something. I will repeat what I've said a million times. If you're whatever age you are, you're not going to change your beliefs. But young kids still are smart, and a young kid will hear that. And he will go, huh? Is because, you know, you can say it all you want, like, because I've referenced it a lot. Oh, yeah, comparing. But to hear it where someone goes, I just took out this word and put in that word. A young person's going to go, oh, mom, dad, was that true? Is that what preachers did back then? Isn't there a chance they're doing it again? Doesn't matter if their parents say no. Kids are smarter than their parents.
Yeah, till they get beaten down.
With the Bible.
They won't.
People assimilate.
What's that mean?
Over a course of time, well, I don't really believe in God, but, well, if I don't get married in my church, my parents are going to throw a shit fit, so I'm just going to go to church and say,
well, I'm just repeating it to you. I get I'm not into organized religion, and I'm not into, I don't believe in God. I've said that a million times. But I do think it's very fair to say there are organized religious groups that don't practice the hate and all that crap. And if you go to one of those, I don't have a problem with that.
What do you believe? Do you think there's anything?
You know what? I'm not positive. I believe, but I believe that, the obvious, I believe in love and I believe in caring and I believe in, I believe in.
But you've cared and loved.
Yeah. I think, matter of fact.
You haven't met with God. I have no basis for belief. I can't cite my sources. Like, if I believed in something, I'd have to tell you why I believe in it. Other than I just want to make my day-to-day, you know, ugly life feel better.
Like,
or,
give me an example.
Or at least say that.
Give me an example of what you mean.
I'm saying, if you go, well, you know, the way I believe you probably go into a realm of what, like, why do you believe that? Anyone who says, I believe this, why? And if you're using a, you know, 2,000-year-old text or even a 60-year-old Scientology text, that's kind of weak.
Yeah.
But people who say, I don't believe in organized religion, but I believe in, well, then why do you believe it? If you have this own unique opinion on what you believe, cite your sources. What made you believe this? Did you have some kind of vision? My belief is I have no fucking idea, and I don't want to know how the movie ends. So I don't want to. I'd rather have childlike wonderment where I go, ooh, something weird's going to happen at the end, and I have no idea what it is.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny? I've on the show because I always, and you know, I guess at one point I'm going to have to break down and just, I'm going to end up talking about this stuff because it's the way I feel. I thought it was funny that someone pointed out that you can teach somebody, this will all come full circle about, because I don't want to sit in a room with someone and go, I think there's a God. I think there isn't a God. Nothing's going to happen. But again, young people, they listen. They're like, they still got a little open minds, and I think you can sway them. You can teach someone how to do math when they've never learned math or how to read, when they're 30 or 40, you can still teach them because there's truth to it and it makes sense.
Yes.
But you can't teach someone to believe in Santa Claus when they're 40, and you can't teach them to believe in God when they're 40. I wonder why. I wonder why you can't take someone that's 40 and tell them about the tooth fairy, because they have reason at that age. But you can teach them how to do math. You can teach them how to do... You can teach them how to read. But why can't you teach them by that point? Because they have reason at that age. And if you don't enforce them at a young age, and if you say to a 40-year-old, you'll burn in hell, he's old enough to go... Well, wait a second. What?
Wait.
Is there any?
I'm gonna step all over the dick of my own bit that I don't want to do bits. But
no, it's fine. If you have a bit that fits this, do it.
It's not a bit. That's L. Ron fucking Hubbard. He sold this shit to adults. That's like there's an accurate history, and it's not that you're selling. You can make up a religion. You can sell religion very easily if you say it with confidence.
Same with Mormonism.
And what Mormonism is a little more vagary. There's not accurate.
So my whole, by the way, and I don't mind
being
wrong.
The point is, you just have to make up a new religion, because now they realize, well, there's no hell, but I still am a dunce cap and I still need meaning. So if you look me in the eyes with confidence and you go, you know, I know the real meaning. Forget all that hell and brimstone and bullshit. Xenu.
Really?
Do you know?
It's the same way multi-level marketing works.
I know you thought you were going to be rich in the last scheme, but well, this time...
Scientology specifically seeks out people who want self-improvement.
Well, what religion does?
You're right, absolutely. But they actually say it. They'll actually go, we have, self-improvement classes.
That's why it works, because you're in a day and age where self, success and make money and be a better person and self-help, that's what's selling. Achieve. So he made a religion around that. So it's not hard to sell religion. It's hard to sell
the old religion.
Bullshit.
Yeah. You know what?
They have to re-up the bullshit.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Which shell is the peanut under? Okay, you know that scam, but how about this?
Were you brought up religious?
Hold on, I hate to do this to you, but I gotta take a station identification.
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
Oh my God. Do me a favor. We can have this conversation that we're having, but Chris Hardwick, he wants him to play betting music. He feels I'm getting too serious in the show, so I hope this isn't gonna freak everybody out. But anyway, go ahead. What were you saying? No, seriously.
Chris Cluey. This is a guy that you should be promoting the same way that... Do you know Chris Cluey?
Yeah, he's the kicker of the Ravens.
Have you talked about it?
Yeah, we talked about it. We read the letter.
Good. I had to make sure you knew about Chris Cluey. There's never been a ballsier fucking football player.
Which team?
Puncher for the Vikings.
Let me tell you something.
Chris Warcraft is his Twitter, so fucking tweet at Chris Warcraft. He's the puncher for the Vikings. Had an open letter to a congressman, a representative
from
Baltimore.
For the Baltimore, because we read the
it.
Ravens.
We read it, and it's funny because I said, I don't even know if you'll like what I've tagged. What I think you do sometimes after the whole comedy, the classes that you sort of wrote your letter on. I said it was it's poetic vulgarness. Which to me is just it's art. It's poetic vulgarness, and you have to be poetic to be in the vulgarness and mixed together. It's just art. And I thought when I read that letter, I went, that is moments of Doug Stanhope.
I said that poetic to vulgarness. Him, people think
did
I
you
might
meet,
have
did you talk
ghost
to him?
Written this? Yeah, tweeted back and forth for a while afterwards, and now he just posed for Out Magazine. That's a fucking NFL player.
That's
so all you alternative fucks who think football is dumb, well, there's good parts to it.
That's why when I say it, I'm not trying to be optimistic in a phony way. But for anybody that's listening to the show, not in a phony way, we are at a good place. The reason that we're, someone's pointed this out with me. I think Daniel, when I said with the Chick-fil-A thing, which I don't want to get into, but I thought, what's going on? He went, they feel rattled. When no one felt rattled on the other side, they didn't speak up. But the fact that they feel rattled because of people like Chris
Cluey,
we're in a good place. The fact that that letter exists, that he wrote to a congressman, that means we're in a good place.
Yeah,
we would have never read that letter even 20 years ago. And I agree with you. That guy, that's a saint.
lustful cock monsters was his quote in an open letter to us. And this is an active starting NFL player. What are you afraid of? It's going to turn gay marriage is going to turn everyone into a bunch of lustful cock monsters.
And you know what I said that he said that I love for the people that don't want to, you know, compare what happened in the past. That's why I said, and Doug, I say this a lot on the show. I'm repeating myself. The reason we are. I've said this a lot. Reason we are technologically advanced more than we are sociologically is because when it comes to inventing computers, we learn from the past. Yeah. We're not inventing better computers because we need to go back to the way it used to be. No. Everybody in science knows, yeah, we need to go fucking forward and learn from the mistakes we made in the past. But when it comes to socially, I think we all want to hold on to the past because it means if we were wrong, we have to change. And that fucking blows to change. So we hold on to the past with our claws dug into a life preserver, praying that we didn't make a mistake. Because if we go, did we? That means you have to change. And that blows. You know, that's like, you know, so that letter that we read from him, to me, that's like, yeah, that's fucking a good thing. You know, that means we're going forward.
There was another thing he did. Shit. Sorry.
It's okay.
He did the Out magazine. And it was because of the support. That went viral. And he probably, I think he apologized initially for the language because it reflected poorly on the NFL. But now he,
But you know what I love about that?
I remembered it. But on Saturday night in Minneapolis, he did a theater show in Minneapolis where he was trying to debate Michelle Bachmann and another ex-Viking player who's now in local Minneapolis politics about their referendum about gay marriage, and they wouldn't respond to him. So he did a show debating empty chairs, representing them about gay marriage at a theater. That guy, and that's a fucking starting NFL player.
I love that you said that it reflected the NFL. In a bad, you know, that's what they felt because the language effect. But the NFL didn't think that it affected them worse in not today, but when time goes on, when we all look back at this, don't you think it looked worse that in 2012 he was the first fucking person to talk about it? That's not embarrassing to you. Not his language, but they're not going, this is fucking mortifying. This guy's brilliant and we've never done this. He's the first person to take football into, you know, or any sports. You know, now it's going to – now you know, that's been the next one.
I would love to dare, like, any football player, MMA fighter to just come out of the closet fake. You don't have to be gay. Just say it. Are you fucking man
press.
Enough
just for
to
the press.
Say that you're gay and then get in there and ground and pound and choke out some fucking other guy with a fucking pink shorts on, not during October because then the breast cancer. But yeah, go on and go, yeah, I'm fucking gay. I've been doing it. I come out of my closet. I'm coming out of the closet all the time on stage. And,
well, you know what?
That'd be funny.
What's funny, in the same area, I asked Daniel. Now, he said he would do it. I think he would chicken out. I said, to know what it's like to see two guys, like, I don't know if I'll be able to ever do it in my lifetime, although I don't know if I was married, if I'd held my wife's hand in public. Or, you know, but I said, Daniel, would you be able to, and then we were at the airport once, and I said, hold my hand and walk down. And but the problem is he did it longer than I could do it. I had 2 seconds. I'm like, I can't do it. But I said, somebody else, like you would do it. You would do it in a heartbeat.
This morning.
So I said, walk into a Starbucks right holding there. Someone's hand, a guy's hand, Daniel, and see how long you could do it. Now, if you couldn't do it, it doesn't mean anything. But we one time I have to put him up to it. We're going to be able to do it and say, are you able to walk in? No, don't overdo it. Just casually, you're holding hands. Maybe, you know, a little bit of affection. Nothing abnormal for a full-grown adult. And see if he would
little,
be able
little
to do
over
it.
The pants action, maybe?
No.
The counter? You know.
Hey, everybody, it's the Todd Glass Show. Yeah, we talk about serious stuff, but we have fun doing it. Go ahead, caller. Are you there?
You're all gone to hell.
All right. Well, there we go. That city council person, why isn't that being played on the news? Why aren't they playing that on the news? Nobody? Well,
I was amazed at how few of... I kept tweeting the shit out of the Chris Cluey, and
I saw that
that's
on, like,
a problem
CNN,
with
though.
Twitter.
I saw that on the news.
Yeah, if you check during that hour, you might see it. But yeah, I thought that would go huge.
But I saw that everywhere, though.
But not
I mean,
big
I guess
enough.
It's the news I'm here.
Not big
which
enough.
Is different.
All right, here's what we're gonna do because I know a few people have to pee.
you mean smoke cigarettes?
We can do that too. You know, I don't. Okay, here's what
do
I'm
you still
do.
Smoke.
I don't.
Oh, you never did.
No,
you
I did. Smoked. I used to love to smoke.
Oh, I remember you did the dad thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about how we met.
Yeah, Daniel asked you how we met. And I
want to hear the story.
I want to find out about it, too. Right.
How we met.
Doug, you were gay once, right?
Well,
do you have a story?
Well, I mean, I've been with transvestites, and as a kid, we all right. blew each other.
All right, well, that's like a reel. We'll be right back. You know what? We didn't introduce. Are we back?
No, yeah, now I'm back.
We didn't introduce. We didn't have. Lynn didn't. Let me put my beer down on the table. That's everyone, put their beers on the floor. My Jack and Coke. We didn't introduce... No, it's fine, because it's plastic. It won't make noise.
Oh.
We didn't introduce Doug with a theme song, which we normally have, so we're going to try to improvise something. So should we play it through the house?
Oh, and then yeah.
Okay, here we go. You
well,
ready?
Other times I've listened to your show, and you already had something produced.
We do, but we hope this is special
That's
for you.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Go. That's special, right?
I felt good.
All righty. Anyway. Why do I love that music so much? It's just like the happiest music. You know, it's not happy. Play
it
the whole song.
It sounds like farts.
When we were on
no,
the road listening
to
you.
When we were on the road
on.
Listening to your podcast. I don't know how to do podcasts, but I have openers who know how to do it. And I'm like, make sure you get a lot of podcasts because we're driving for 3 weeks. Town to town, up and down the dial, as they say in WKRP. And not only were the songs stuck in our head from your dumb show, then my tour manager would download those songs and play them even when we're not listening to your... I wish I could remember the...
Oh, you mean... Wait a second. One, two, three, four.
Five, six, seven, eight. The Todd Glass Show. The Todd Glass Show. And every letter on the Todd Glass Show. The best podcast you'll ever know. Everything's better on the Todd Glass Show. One, two, three, four, five, six.
See, I think that's a second verse, but it's a separate song, the bag of weed.
No, that's a bag of weed. That's a different song.
All right. See, I didn't know if we're going into that.
Bag of weed, bag of weed.
A little bit better with a bag of weed. The only hope you'll ever need is everything better with a bag of weed. Hold on. Do you have a clean version so Doug can do his? Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, Doug. Now we can let you do that without the
Oh, that would be.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Bag of weed, bag of weed. Everything better with a bag of weed. Only hope you'll ever need is everything's better with. Bag of weed. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Everything's better with a bag of weed. Bag of weed, bag of weed. I need a whole big bunch of bag of weed. I can't. I don't have any rolling papers for this bag of weed. Do you have a one hitter for this bag of weed? It's not really a whole bag of weed. It's just a little nugget of weed I found in the rug, and I need some weed. So please give me something to smoke this weed. I'll put it in the end of a cigarette butt, but I don't know if it's gonna work.
All right, no, I like it.
right, pause it. Fade it out. Fade it out.
All right. That'll be a drop. Do you guys want to tell...
When I die tragically, you'll use that as a drop.
Oh, I'll use it in the background as I make... Yes.
Hey, we're going to break right now. Doug Stanhope died today. Here, we're going to play this. And we'll be right back with more frivolity.
Magaweed, the Magaweed. Everything's better than the Magaweed. If you have me, if you have me.
Katie, you gave echo without me asking for it. For the first time ever.
I've learned. I gave him echo, too.
You son of a bitch. You know how to warm my heart. How do we meet, Doug?
How did we meet? I was just looking at my notes. I think it was, I believe, November 6th. Oh, wait, no, that's when the DVD is coming out on Roadrunner Records, who paid for my hotel and my car to be here.
Wait,
November
6th. Who was it
before
again?
Turning the gun on himself. I'll never mention it again.
No, who was it?
It was one of my first paid club gigs ever at the Riviera with Steve Sciarippa in Vegas. And it was me and you and I don't know who else, but I remember you.
Remember the guy did ventriloquism, but he didn't worry about not moving his mouth? Like, no bullshit? CPO Bobby Duck and something in Bobby Duck.
I only worked there like four times.
Was Bobby Duck the dummy or the guy?
But you told me... I don't know if this everyone knows this story, but you told me this story I'll never forget. Ooh. About you looked so much like Treat Williams. Uh-huh. Does everyone know this story?
No,
I've never told this story.
Okay, well,
this was back when Treat Williams.
This was 1991 at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
At the height of Treat Williams'
career. I was opening at the Riviera. Before it was the Improv, it was just Comedy Club at the Riviera. Or no, it went the other way. It used to be the Improv.
It was the Improv at the Riviera, and that's when we did
it. Yeah.
And then there were three shows a night, 7 weeks, 7 nights.
Twenty-one shows, and I did it four times that I remember, and I never got laid. in those days, when I had a beautiful mullet and I was a young man, the only reason you did comedy was to get pussy. You weren't thinking about a sitcom. You're going, oh, no one ever fucked me. One person said after the show, are you the DJ here all the time? They didn't know MC versus... But I remember you telling me a story about how, I believe in New York?
In Chicago.
Chicago, okay.
At the jazz club called, I forget the name of it, but it was a jazz club in Chicago.
He had his friend
Kingston
call.
Kingston Mines.
I'll tell a story and you correct it.
Because no, you're it's fine.
You had your friend call and say, I'm Treat Williams' publicist. This is around when Treat Williams had movies out, like The Amazing Remo or something was probably out. And he called, he's coming in tonight, is there a private table we could get? And there was one night that they believed you so much that all the waitresses were hanging around you. Mm-hmm. They're lavishing you with Treat Williams is at our place to the point you got scared.
I got nervous.
Like, if they find out we're full of shit, they've given us so much free stuff and believed we're going to get killed. These are kind of mobster types. And then when people would ask, a girl would say, well, what was about the thing with the movie? And you'd go, I don't like to talk about business because you don't know Treat Williams that well.
Some movie, and I said it wrong. It was like, okay, now keep in mind, this was a long time ago. I said, well, when we did Dead Heat, and it was something else. She goes, it was called this. I go, we called it that because Joe Piscopo was like such a pain in the ass. But Doug, listen to this. I remember that night specifically. And by the way, let me just tweak it a little bit. At Kingston Mines, what happens, we were in line, and a doorman came all the way, like, 20 people, which I don't usually wait in line. I don't like waiting in line. Nothing's worth waiting in line for. That's my theory in life.
Mm-hmm.
So why was I fucking waiting in line? Because a few of the people from the club said it's worth it, it's going to be great, which it was when we got in there. Like, I didn't know, like, it was like going to see a comedian that maybe isn't as big as a big comedian, but you go to see him and you're like, fuck, these people were, oh my God, it was great. So about 20 minutes being in line, a guy came back, he goes, are you who we think you are? And of course I knew how to answer. I went, well, it depends if you like my work or not. Because I had been used to people casually asking me or thinking. Sometimes they thought I looked like him. Sometimes I thought I was him. And then he walked us to the head of the line.
I'm no fecal freak.
What does that mean?
That's that was Treat Williams in Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Oh,
I don't. He ate poop once in prison.
So we're in line, and we get inside, and
I guess you don't get that a lot.
No.
Hey, fecal freak!
I like it anyway. It sounds fun. So we're in line, and we get inside, and then I ask if there's food, and I realize the kitchen's probably shut after we got the food. I'm like, they just fired up the fryers and put out some food for us, you know? And then I remember the whole bar closed, and they're like, if you want to stick around, you can. Well, I told the band they were good. I keep forgetting they think I'm Treat Williams. So I go, you guys are really good. They went back up and started playing at 3:30 in the morning. And that's when one of the doorman turns to me, because we were with a few waitresses from the club and a few doormen. He goes, they're playing because they think you're Treat Williams. And I said, I left there that night, and you know what I said? I will never do that again. It wasn't a good feeling. There's part two to the story. I wouldn't be telling it. I said, I'll never do it again. I did not elicit it, if that's the right word. That someone came up into his line, but I said, I'll never do it again. It just wasn't a good feeling. You know, you're scamming people, you know? Well,
cut to next night.
I love that.
Cut
feeling.
To 2 weeks later at Dallas at the Improv. This is when we initiated it. We want to go somewhere. I forget where it is. It's hard to get in. So I call from the Improv. I go, hey, this is Trey from the Dallas Improv. Hey, look, we have Treat Williams here. We wanted to send him over there. Is there any way you could slide a little professional courtesy? That way it's not Treat Williams asking. They're like, oh, sure. So we go there, and then there's a limo outside. We give the limo driver $25 if he'll just drive us, literally a block, to pull us up in front of it. So it looks good. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, back when you thought limos looked good, now it's a town car, understated. And we went in, and we did it all over again. And that was, I never did it again.
You never got caught?
I never did it again after that, because that night we felt even worse at the end of the night.
You felt scared.
I felt scared.
Yeah,
that's a good memory. I felt scared. I went because, look, you know, we did it. It happened a few. They were the two times I remember. The time in Dallas was the last time. I remember that specifically. But before then it happened.
That was the last time Treat Williams was famous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why. I'm trying to act like I stopped it because I'm a. But I remember thinking.
Right now, someone's coming on to Treat Williams thinking he just came out of the closet. You're not Todd Glass.
You know what I'm feeling right now, everybody? You know why this podcast is number one? Because I know what people need. People are listening right now. They're having a good time. And they just need, sometimes it's just a feeling in the air. I know.
Good morning, sunshine. I hope that you're well. Honey, I missed you last night when I fell. You should know, sunshine.
It's a great song. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. All right, fade it out.
Oh, all right, let's go.
The Todd Glass Show.
Okay, Doug, I hope you appreciate this.
I appreciate everything you do.
I love you. Somebody sent us in a letter. You know that me Chinese me play joke, me put pee pee in your coke.
Yeah.
Well, we have another joke on the show that this is a little bit long, but then I think it might be worth it. Then we have this thing that I started with John Mulaney at the Montreal Comedy Festival a year ago. A guy who wants coke, but he doesn't want to ask for it. So he just says to people hey, do you have anything that could pick me up? And they're like, oh, you should have coffee. No, it's not that. They're like, well, you know, you should do exercise. I found if I exercise and train all the no, not like a really, just something to pick me up. Finally, the other person goes, do you want coke? And he goes, you do coke? you do coke? So someone said I should say, me Chinese, me play joke. You put pee-pee in your coke? You know, put that. So I'm trying to explain it to these guys the other night. Now, I hope this is worth it. It's not, we'll edit it out. But I swear to you, this is true.
I've listened to your show. You don't edit anything out. You say we're going to edit it out.
You don't have this. Do you have the McFlurry thing?
No. You should go batshit again.
Oh, my God. No, I never went batshit. So we don't have any.
He did.
You
they
never
edited
told me
it
didn't
out.
Have it. Yeah. What?
He bloodied an eye.
Oh, God. That was so much fun. I wanted to hear that. Well, I got this for you, everybody. You fucking want to hear a dumb jingle from a year ago? This is what I got.
Lots of laughs, lots of fun, lots of stuff for everyone.
your radio for the Todd Glass Show.
Made it out. I'm a little disappointed. We sat around debating the whole PP and the Coke thing, and these I can't even describe what happened. We'll leave this in because we'll play it on the next show. But with everyone's at my house.
I listened.
Oh, wait. Where's my phone?
I listened to Henry Cho on What the Fuck podcast, and he was saying, I'll never forget how much I hurt the first time they said, you Chinese. I fucked up the whole PP and the Coke thing.
Okay. Okay, so this is us sitting around the house. I'm trying to explain to this call that this person that sent this in, I thought it was a funny idea. Me Chinese, me play joke. You put PP in my Coke. And these guys, this is all real. They don't know that I pulled my cell phone out, at least till the end. Look, I hope this is worth it. But this is what's the matter?
You can plug it in, and so you don't have to hold it to the speaker.
But what if it's not?
Plug it in where?
To that thing.
Okay, hold on. What if it's not worth it? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, podcasting will die if this does not work.
They're going to take away your award.
You know what? I'm leaving everything in. Some people said once, they go, we love when Todd references how long the show's been going on because then we can tell how much they edit. I swear to you, in the beginning, yes, I would edit out here and there. Very, very rarely now. But now, you know, even this I won't take out because I don't want people to think I'm, you know, taking stuff out. So this is us sitting around the house. Although I will take this out. All right, it makes me feel better if I say that. But this is us sitting around the house talking. I try to explain.
Well, honestly, no bullshit. Do you not know? You know our thing when we say, you do coke?
Yeah, I like that. That's fine.
All right, so I don't understand. Why don't you get... Okay, so we go, you do coke?
Right, I get that.
Okay. And then this listener, who I don't know the name right now, but I could look it up later, said we should do, just a, you know, casual suggestion. You know that you pee-pee in my coke? You don't get why that's funny.
No.
Are you serious?
That's
no, stop. Funny? Are you joking with me? To George Carlin, do you not see why that's silly funny? What I call silly funny. It's not like we're defending the Constitution here. But seriously, like, you put pee-pee in my Coke? Like, you're saying.
Someone put pee-pee in.
Are you being stupid? You know that old expression. Me Chinese, me play joke, me put pee-pee in your Coke. You never heard that.
No.
You swear to God.
I swear.
To George Carlin.
Why would you put pee-pee in a
Coke? Well, you're being stupid now. You don't put pee-pee. Oh, I can't even believe I'm fucking talking about this.
Wait, the Chinese put pee-pee in the Coke.
To George Carlin, not for real, and you know that. But you never heard that riddle. You Chinese, me Chinese, me play Joe. I can't believe I'm fucking...
No,
it's
I
an
never
old,
heard that.
All right, well, then that's why...
That's why the joke doesn't
You put pee-pee in my Coke.
Hold on, let me tell you right now. This is for the listener that sent this in. He will not believe it's Matthew... What's his last name?
Broderick.
Matthew what? Matthew Broderick. Matthew what? Trumpo. It's not over. It was just a casual email. You know, that you put pee-pee in my Coke, and then the joke you do with John Mulaney. It was just in passing. This isn't the first conversation we had about it. We're going to finish this conversation. Then Andrew comes in, and I start re-explaining it to him. So, Matthew, you do not know. Is his name Matthew? Matthew, you don't know what... okay, so here we go.
Are you... You said to George Carlin...
I did.
All right, I believe you then. I don't think you would break that trust. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I'm taping this. Because I want people to hear to the length I go to defend these listeners. You guys are shitting all over everybody. No. It is odd in this one situation. Here's what's happening. Before I turned the recorder on, I don't know if you remember, but I saw my phone. I went, I could record this. I said, I wish I could record this. Because I was defending, before I even started recording, I was, by the way, so you know, I was defending, I can't, the listener would love to know the amount of energy I put in to defending, which I thought was a great, silly suggestion. And then I turned my recorder on, and you know what? Now they know. And now you might think I had the upper hand because I knew I was recording this conversation. I don't think I did anything that wrong. You get it?
I get.
No, I didn't have any. It's not like I'm exposing you for anything. I think I'm talking too much now, but I'm playing this. I'm definitely playing this.
Okay, now, then Andrew walks in, and I thought as soon as he walks in, I'm going to be able to go, you know that old silly riddle? He's going to go, of course I heard of it.
Okay, seriously, do you
20 minutes later.
See why that's funny? You pee-pee in my Coke? Not hilarious.
You pee-pee in my Coke?
Okay, you know the okay, let's go. Oh my God. You know the expression, you pee pee in my coat. You get that, right?
That's an example. I don't know.
I know you don't, Eric. I know. I'm sorry. No, stop, stop. You're being silly. I can tell the difference, but I want to know with you. You've heard.
What?
Now, are these are listeners?
No, this is me hanging out with these guys at the house. And I
so that's, you think that's, they're your age?
No, they're young. Oh, you mean the pee pee in the coat?
Yes.
You think? Well, first of all, it ends up Andrew did hear about it.
Oh, okay.
He did. He didn't know about it.
I didn't.
No.
Go play.
I can't believe I have Doug Stanhope sitting in the room with me, and I'm playing Me Chinese, Me Play joke conversation. But you know what? That's the charm.
But no one else knows that shit.
Well, that's why this is hopefully be funny. Jesus, for the love of God.
That expression, Me Chinese, Me Play joke, you put pee pee in my...
Yes.
You've heard that.
Yeah, Me Chinese, Me... No, yeah, I get that.
Okay, that's what this girl was just... I can't fucking believe I'm talking about this much. This girl sent an email in, and she went... you should just say in the same rhythm of you do coke, you pee pee in my coke. Thought it was funny. I'm wrong. I'm sorry I'm wrong. Me and one listener were fucking crazy.
Maybe she's watching your coke. She's like at the bar or something like that, and she's watching.
You don't discuss why people would pee pee in your coke.
Why not?
You're discussing the wrong part of it. That's a joke. I don't know what it's from. It's from a riddle. It's probably because.
Yeah, do the whole riddle. Do the whole riddle.
I can't believe you guys are actually.
I don't get the joke.
No, I get it now. You gotta say,
is your refrigerator running?
Context, because it's a funny line, but you have to add the context.
All right, maybe this
my
is
God.
Me Chinese, me no joke, me go keep being.
All right, can I?
Let it go.
Okay.
Let it go.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
So it is funny.
You need to put it in
well, of course, I was gonna do it that way. I'm lying. I was recording that too. Did you know I was recording it? Do not lie to me.
No.
You did not.
All right.
No, I just thought I was-
Should I tell you how the rest of the night went, and then we can get back to our guest, Doug Stanhope? Well, then Andrew walked in with seven McFlurries for everybody. We were all sitting around.
Oh, is this what started the no McDonald's rule that you awkwardly called me about?
Well, you may as well tell
people. Todd Glass
Tell people.
Well, I awkwardly called him, and I said, hey, would it be awkward if I brought a friend and be honest? And he said, no, it's just that we won't have enough headsets, but he's welcome to come. There's a lot of people here tonight. And then he called me back a couple hours later. I don't want this to sound awkward, but a lot of people bring like food trays and big gulps and, you know, it gets messy and stinky and they'll bring a bag of McDonald's. And I go, I'm just bringing vodka, if that's good. And he goes, well, I have vodka. And I go, well, we have more vodka. I didn't know if you, like, we didn't want to be the only people who brought vodka.
No, no, no.
And then other people go, ooh, drinking is a good idea. And then I have two cocktails and we're out. We're sharing. That would suck.
No, we have drinks here. I like drinks.
Yeah, so.
Drinks are good. We'll do the other thing.
I don't have the prospectus of what we're about to do.
Okay.
I don't know when I'm interrupting. So
no, you're not. You're go, Doug. Like this. I'm interrupting you.
That's that's the high sign of.
He's giving me the finger.
No. Well, that's what you do to me when I'm talking over what you're planned.
There's nothing planned. You're my guest, and I feel like maybe I shouldn't play this. So then Eric brought like eight McFlurries. I still do it. Eric brought like eight McFlurries. Brought eight McFlurries back to the house, and we were very high. And he brought, well, it started because he brought small ones, and we were all imagining big McFlurries. And it was a little bit disappointing, like when you're high. Keep in mind, we were high.
This
is the
guy that's against McDonald's in the studio. We do not do, we're professionals, but don't bring a small McFlurry to my house, motherfucker.
So we decided to make a bit out of it. This is the unappreciative group of people getting McFlurries.
All right.
And it was a bit, but I think what made it so great is it was a little bit of seriousness in it. And by the way, we're waiting for these McFlurries. How long did it take him? 25 minutes. We're like, where the fuck did he go? There's a McDonald's right up the street from my house, and I live in a nice neighborhood. So anyway, this is us. After this, we are all Doug Stanhope, but I think this will be. I want you.
Okay, here's the bit. This is the most unappreciative group of people in the world. Some guy goes out and he gets some McFlurries. This bunch is they're the most unappreciative pricks. For whatever the reason, it took them a little longer. This is the guy. This is the scene. Here's the guy. He's coming back. Just treated everyone to McFlurries. We're only mad because it took longer than we wanted. Where the fuck were you?
Hey,
guys, how are you doing?
What do you mean, how are you doing? Where the fuck are you?
Forever.
How long were you going to fucking be out? Well, get him on the table.
Listen, I'm sorry, guys. Like,
I thought you were like, what did you do?
Well, what happened was there was a huge line.
Well, the fucking cut ahead of it. Right? Am I wrong?
I bought. I figured you guys would be a little more.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, we're sort of glad you got him, but.
They're melted already.
Thank you, Eric. Say what you just said.
They're melted.
They're melted.
I don't want to drink my fucking slurry.
Thank you. Shut up. You're all thinking what I'm thinking. I heard what you said. I don't want to drink my McFlurry, you idiot.
Is that Oreo?
That's not Oreo.
Yes. What is it?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
There's your Oreo. Cup.
It doesn't matter. They're just mush. I don't know what you did. Did you drive around the block 100 times and fucking smell them?
My fucking cup's leaking, too.
Oh, great.
Thanks.
Thanks for ruining the only...
And you didn't even get any goddamn napkins.
You didn't get... Tell me you're fucking just teasing him. No, there's no fucking napkins.
All right.
All right, what? Thank you, but it's just fucking bullshit.
I touched the cup and I'm all sticky.
Oh.
I would like to appreciate the effort, but you didn't even try.
You know what? I feel like, right, because I feel like am I being too hard on him? But no, he didn't try. That's why I'm mad at him.
What size are these?
Oh my god, I didn't want to. I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
These are not larges.
Let's drink our shots of McFlurries.
Yeah. Hi, right, everybody. Want to do a shot of McFlurries?
What's the point?
Did I ask you a question? Say something. Defend yourself.
I don't feel. It doesn't matter, Todd. I mean, I do you guys a favor. I go to
a favor.
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 Puts us out. We were really looking forward to McFlurry.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I didn't know, Your Majesty.
Listen. Did I? This isn't even the right McFlurry. What did you give me?
What did you?
Oh my
you
God!
Just
he gave
grabbed
me.
At them. You just grabbed at them like monsters.
Yeah. Hold on. Before you make fun of my friend, we grabbed at them.
What are you?
Hold on. You know why he wouldn't have grabbed on him if he got him back here quicker? He grabbed on him because we wanted our goddamn McFlurry so bad when you came in. We just grabbed the wrong McFlurry. It's still your fault.
Tell you what, next time you'll pay for your own fucking...
I did pay for them, idiot. I gave you the money to get the McFlurries. Your only responsibility was to get them quickly and you fucked it up.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, say something, defend yourself.
Let's eat the bad one.
Steve Beinhardt.
What was that?
That is the funniest. I'll just eat the bad one. The bad one. We're so
the most unappreciative person in the world. I'll just eat the bad one. So that was our fun McFlurry night. All right, there you go. You know what we need to get us out of this right now and back to Doug?
I got a McSmoothie, or I don't know if it's called it. They have smoothies at McDonald's for breakfast, and I got one, and then I passed out, and my. Because I flew.
What's a McSmoothie?
I said they have smoothies at McDonald's for breakfast, and I got
one. Oh, yeah. Are they good?
I was still drunk when I woke up at the airport, and I came from Albany to here. So it's been a long day for me.
Wait, you flew today?
At a 6 a.m. Albany, so that's 3 a.m.
Does Brian fly with you?
No. He lives here.
By the way, I heard his accent when we took a break.
Scott. He's a filthy, uncut Scot.
His accent makes it all like I got nervous when I heard his accent because I think he knows like something about him has more culture than me. He's like, hey,
oh, he does.
Hey, look at
oh,
it.
He knows everything. If at any point, I will put this on the table now. If at any point you have a question that you need answered by a smart fuck, he will answer it.
That could be a segment.
Oh, yes. No, he'll. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Smart fuck. Yeah. He'll tell you. He'll wait till you're drunk and he'll tell you something you didn't know.
They're fun people to drink with. Oh. Doug, so you're out on the road drinking it up. there, my interview style. So you're out on the road. Hey, let me ask you.
No,
question.
We were going to talk about something about pot and alcohol that you said. Oh, we'll talk about it on the air.
Pot and alcohol?
Well, I asked you if you smoked, and you go, "I don't. I'm not a
cigarettes. You don't smoke cigarettes anymore.
No, I quit weed. I said, is everyone high in here except me and Brian? Because we're drunks.
Oh, I don't smoke.
I thought everyone else was a high guy, and they don't really always mix well.
I don't smoke pot in the first point of the show, part of the show, because I do sometimes, but it doesn't work. Mostly, I like to have my wits about me. This is what people get with my wits about me, by the way, playing McFlurry conversations I had.
But you were hammering down some Jack Daniels during your Christian Bale moment where you almost slugged sensitive in the head.
By the way, I understand. By the way, I feel it's okay for me to say this. I think I have a track record of treating people with decency.
On the air, but you get the Casey Kasem takeout. Don't you lead me in a soft number with sensitive spilling club soda on the floor. I'm a goddamn professional. He's spilling things here to lead a story about a dead dog, and I have to come off of a high up-tempo number?
No, wait, that's funny and I like it and everything, but
these
people heard everything, so it wasn't like that. Just that, here's what the deal is. Like,
oh, you know what? What you're going to do is you're going to recreate what really happened and have sensitive play out a number where you were just being funny.
Oh, you mean
like you're just spilling club soda and throwing it down the where they don't know she was cut in the head and had to be treated with several stitches.
I do get, because I know what
from
it is.
A listener of all people, you stitch him up. Here's dental floss. I'm afraid about my teeth. I can't get booked in movies if
do you floss?
No.
No, be honest.
No, look at my teeth.
When's the last time you flossed?
After they tore out all of my back teeth because they rotted out of my head.
I have, you know what?
I don't even do meth.
Can I tell you something about my teeth? I talk on this show a lot about brushing.
That should be the name of your book.
What should it be? Can I tell you about my teeth?
Can I tell you something about my teeth?
Oh, my book is called Why I'm Still Popular in the UK. Why I Have a Scottish Manager is my follow-up.
I'm very big on I thought about something the other day. I talk about dental hygiene a lot, and people need, when you brush your teeth, you need to rinse it out so I don't smell damp breath and toothpaste. But I realized I did not take care of my teeth as a young person. I didn't floss till my doctor told me my gums were receding. And he goes, "Do you floss?" And at that point, I had to go, "No." He goes, "You always told me you did." It was my uncle at the time back in Philadelphia. I go, "Yeah, because you didn't." I thought if you really needed to floss, you wouldn't take my word for it. I always thought, like, even as I was a full-grown adult, that, like, these medical people wouldn't take, like, I go, "Do you floss?" And I go, "Yeah." And they go, "Okay. Oh, really? You just take my fucking word for it? Like, you should, you know." And so I didn't floss.
Can't you tell I'm lying?
Yeah, I didn't.
I would have 8 more teeth in my head if they didn't. I'm 45 years old. My dentist still treats me like I'm 14, like 9. "Well, it seems like you haven't been to floss." Like, stop talking to me in a sing-song voice.
No, wait. I thought we. Yeah, I don't. I did. Now I do. Now I floss. But by the time I figured out how to take care of my teeth. But by the way,
flossing is more important than brushing.
They say that if you hold on.
My
uncle did tell me. My uncle, who's a dentist, told me. I asked him if that was true. If that was an urban legend, he goes, "Well, obviously you need to do both." He goes, "But you're right. If one of those hypotheticals, if all you could do was one or the other, whatever the reason is, just a fake hypothetical, yeah, flossing is more important." I know
that's why
weird.
Gary Johnson is not in the president.
Who's Gary Johnston?
The third
Governor
party.
Gary Johnston. He's the third party candidate no one will pay attention to. No one pays attention to Waterpik. Is it more important to floss or brush? Well, what about Waterpik? That's the one that seems real easy. You don't have to go.
Yeah. Do you have a Waterpik?
Yes, I have a Waterpik.
You do?
Gets into the argument of flossing over brushing.
Well, is it
all I'm saying is I've been drinking this whole time, and it's going to build up.
Doug. That'll never get unfunny to me. Doug.
I wish if I knew some German. Actually, I do know. All I know is German from Frank Zappa. So I want to do Hitler speeches every time I hear that sound effect.
By the way, the lighter side.
Wait.
Doug, hold on. Shut this music off. Do you have the full version of this? Doug, do you know that is...
That's the only lyrics I know. That's from
Joe's
Garage.
Do you know that this is, to George Carlin, this is like, I don't know what to say. It's like this song is a Hitler song.
Back
you know
up
that?
1 second.
Okay, hold on.
I know he's confused because I was confused for at least 3 podcasts of yours that when you say to George Carlin,
that means
you're
the truth.
To God.
To truth. It just means
okay,
the truth.
Yes, okay. Yeah. But
play this whole song and
maybe throw that out every now and then.
Well, the listeners know.
You know, podcasts aren't like regular
new
listeners.
You're right.
Sometimes it's a bunch of comics in a van and they're getting used to it. So back up every now and then to
you
George
know what, Doug?
Carlin.
I take your I take your suggestion.
You don't need to take my suggestion. It's already out there unless you edit it out the same way you beat sensitive down a flight of stairs like Jake LaMotta.
I will keep
Svein Gusava.
Give him echo. This song, listen to the whole song. I don't I'm to George Carlin, that means the truth for our new listeners. There you go. Implemented instantly. this song is someone sent it in, and at first it sounds happy, but I want you to listen to a minute of the song and tell me what this is. This is a real or is it comedic? I to George Carlin, I don't get whether this song was done comedically or whether it was some twisted, demented song from Nazi Germany. Play it.
But to you're George my Carlin. Uncle.
To George Carlin, listen.
Don't touch me there, Daddy.
Here it comes.
Wenn der Führer says, wie ist der Master Ace? Wie heil, heil.
I have fucking no idea.
He's a great disgrace, so wie heil, heil. Right in the Führer's face. Wenn Herr Goebbels says, wie own the world in space? Wie heil,
so fade it out.
Heil.
I'm what is that?
What are the fuck? What are the odds? So, wait, I'm sorry. I was just.
It sounds like an anti-Hitler
when I was doing.
Oh, it's an anti-Hitler song?
Yeah, it sounds like they're making fun of Hitler.
It is, but I had no. Maybe I did. Maybe I did from.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I got to take a break.
For affordable voiceover and audio production, visit radiovoiceimaging.com. Whether you need radio liners, podcast imaging, web video voiceover, or commercial production, we do it all. Radiovoiceimaging.com.
All right, that's how I get free jingles. Oh my God! So you were being silly, but what is that? What is that song? Is that like you said? That's what is that? What is it?
Just a funny song of the time.
Funny. It's saying Hitler things in it.
Yeah, but it's making fun of Hitler.
Oh, it is.
It was like anti-war, anti-Hitler song.
Sorry. Watch you.
Yeah, I know. I realized that was going to be bad once I heard it was bad.
I'm not.
But if you pick up the mic and then drop it down, you go ooh. That was bad when I picked it up, but I'm not holding it for an hour.
I didn't hear one thing you said.
By the way, nothing.
No, I don't. People don't want me to. A lot of people say, "Sure,
listen,
sure,
you had to do a drop right there. You had to do a little jingle. I have to mention Junior Stopka and Carlos Valencia, two fantastic comics who made it possible for me to listen to your show on an extended road trip.
Say their names again. Look,
Junior Stopka.
Put echo in his voice when he says these people.
Junior Stopka. Chicago's own Junior Stopka.
Play the funny music behind as he talks about it.
And wait, no, this is Carlos Valencia. Carlos Valencia. He's the king of the Southeast. He wears a funny hat.
I'm not shushing people anymore on the show, so I got bought a taser. And then when these guys look what I do when the people talk, I just go like this, and they take. There you go. So that's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
All right, listen.
That's why you call them sensitive. All jittery, blubbery, belly shaking all over like a jellyfish.
You know,
you were the guy that got tasered in the whole funny.
Some people listening to our show in the morning. See, it's a happy show at the end of the day. I know what I'm doing. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. It's no wonder we're number one. Doug Stanhope in studio. We're going to go pee. We'll be right back. I think that McFlurry thing will be funny for people at home. By the way, I'm half. Are we recording?
Yeah.
No, because sometimes here, I don't know what goes on here, but there's something at home that's different. You know what I'm talking about. All right, we unofficially came back. So I guess I want to talk about. Would you have a question, Doug? Can you move your mic in?
I was going to lean into it.
That would make me crazy. Straighten your mic out
And let's clean up your papers over there. This looks like there's
too many pencils.
Too many pencils all over.
Hey, can we? Hey, if any of you listeners will bring in some McDonald's, I'd love a sloppy Big Mac that drips over the microphone cover.
You're gonna get sloppy. One at your next show, probably.
Sloppy Big Mac. Wasn't that your used to be your nickname for your girlfriend when I met you, right?
Sloppy Big Mac. Oh yeah.
It was so embarrassing. Yeah. He used to go, "This is my girlfriend, Sloppy Big Mac."
Double patty.
She would say this.
Still have two things on my list that I want to get to.
Okay.
Do you?
Doug.
Doug, do you want to play truth or dare?
They're moral conundrums.
Doug, do you want to play truth or dare?
Yes.
I want to hear about the moral conundrums.
Yeah, moral conundrums. You have any moral conundrums music you can play in the background? I like betting music. Something that really fits it, and don't be an asshole about it.
I have a small herpy breakout, so I'm going to defer from the show your penis one.
No, I actually caught my interest. You said something about conundrums.
You know how you learn like five or six big words and you use them constantly throughout your life?
Oh, yeah. I love to.
Quandary, conundrum. I know those too. There's a synonymous.
What do you want to talk
about? Get me a drink. You sing like Stink.
Okay, let's talk about your hour special, but I want to do it.
We have to sell it, sir.
Yeah, let's talk
we
about it.
We don't want to talk about it. We need to sell it.
Doug, I have an idea. Let's pretend your DVD is available. Now, you have to make pretend for a second you're not Doug. We're selling.
Suspend disbelief.
I want you to take direction here. Now, you listen up. Maybe in your career you have been disobedient, and I know I talk to the people that you would. But right now, you're going to take my direction.
Yes, sir.
Things didn't go right for us. This is 2050. No, maybe 2030. Right. And we now both work on the Home Shoppers Network. And your CD, Doug, I'm setting this up. You'll get the gist of it.
It's called Before Turning the Gun on Himself, I read here, right here. That's a crazy title. Crazy title.
Well, you know what I love about this CD? Hold on. Pause the music.
It's a DVD.
What's your name for this bit?
Doug's. My name. It would be Brian Hennigan.
Well, just your first name. Brian, my name's. Yeah. What do you want to call me? How about Tom? Because that's easy to remember. You'll be Brian.
Mark Maron. It's 2030.
By that time, it now has a negative condensation. I saw that movie. It's so Marc Maron. There you go. That's the gayest I'll get. Hi, everybody. This is Todd Glass. Okay, pause the music.
I'm Chris Harddick. Get it? Because it's a play on Hardwick, and then they put dick in it. Ow!
Can I tell you something? And I thought if Chris didn't do it this week to George Carlin, that means the truth.
Wait, no, I want to be Doug Benson.
Okay.
Because we're reviewing movies.
For this bit, it doesn't work. But you're going to be...
We're reviewing a movie.
No, we're not. We're talking about CD.
Every chance I take...
Oh, shut up. You're trying to act like you're a victim.
You're a director.
You hate my choices.
Right, exactly.
That's what I was looking for, choices.
I opened up for once and Todd pooped all over my ideas. So here's the deal. We work at the Home Shoppers Network, and in the afternoon, the CD shows up on the desk, and they tell us, this is real. You know,
you're going to be better at this because I think you actually watch it.
No. I watch it a little bit. I do get addicted to it a little because how bad it is. These people, if there's a hell, they're going to it. Seriously, because they don't believe
it. If there's a hell, they live in it already.
Yeah.
It's true.
No, that says everything. They're in hell. What are they doing? Worse than marketing shit sucks. The hell.
Do you think they think of themselves as being on television?
Yes.
Like,
well, how about
or as salesmen? Like, dude,
no. All right, now I'm gonna Andrew Dice Clay this motherfucker.
You can smoke here.
No, when I did Opie and Anthony. Again, we talked about it earlier, and then Andrew Dice Clay comes in. He's one of the, and he just walks in and he's like, "Yo!" He's still there's no comedy presence like him since him and Kinison that
there's still an
in,
over. There's still because
but
we
he
can,
still believes it, and I envy that so much. And he walked in and he starts going, "Yeah, oh, the bug and that thing," and Opie and Anthony are like, "Oh, he's gonna smoke," and he had a cigarette and he lit it up and he's like, "Yeah, fuck."
Here's what you do.
That's what I'm doing it because you know
you
what?
Can smoke here.
Podcasting is new, so I'm going to be the guy that will just go. You know what? Screw your rules and your allergies and your.
I can't do Andrew Dice Clay in his act, but I can do Andrew Dice Clay off stage. Now he'll be like, I heard him giving someone advice once. He goes, "Here's what you do." He goes, "You want your kids, right? That's what you." I'm not feeling it. All right, here's what's going on.
We're getting out.
What's going on with hot water over there?
He's giving me an ashtray.
Look at you, Eric.
He's a subjugate. Is that a big word?
Yes.
Is that really the word, subjugate? It's something like
it
that.
It sounds right.
Subject. No. Right. What? Subject.
Can I tell you something? We've talked about this before, and I don't want to go sound like a broken record, but... All right. Okay. Let's start this bit over again. I'm taking back control over the show. We are doing another 45 minutes and then we're done.
All right. I want you for 1 minute of those 45 to call me up as. I don't know if this blows the thing. This is for the this. See that line? That means off the air. But call me up like you're a morning DJ, thinking he's interviewing Johnny Rotten.
No. It's-
Yeah, all right, all right. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay,
that still is.
Hey,
in play.
It's hello.
That's
what happened to my.
Oh, there we go. Hello, hello.
Tom,
like us 365-4100. Don't bug. I've got gravy in my whole 40. I got gravy in my neck.
It's a good story, but I will fuck it up if I tell you now.
Okay, well, we'll take a break and then we can talk about it. But let's start this bit again. So this is the infomercial. They put this CD in front of us, and we have to talk about it. They're like, it's a Doug Stanhope DVD. It's an hour long, and you guys have to talk about it. So, you know, when we come back from a commercial, you know, they're doing it on the producers on their shows. They hand them the item. They tell them a little bit about it. Maybe it's not right before they go on, but maybe it's the night before. So now we're prepared. You're Brian. I'm Tom. Here we go. Well, we're back, everybody, and I'll tell you what. Boy, do we have something great. You know, I'll tell you, with a lot of my family, they say we have younger nieces and nephews or progressive people that aren't young, but they enjoy stand-up comedy, right? What do you get your nieces and your nephews and people that, I don't know anything about comedy. I don't know who's on the cutting edge of stand-up. All I know.
Stand-up comedy is it's an art form where it makes you laugh. Everyone needs a laugh,
everybody,
right, Tom?
Needs. You know, let me tell you something, Brian. When I put in a Doug Stanhope CD, and I will be honest with you, I put it in last night. It's an hour long. It's probably a little longer, to be honest. I think the guy gives it, we get a little bit more for our money. You know,
bang for your buck is what I say.
Yeah. I'll tell you the truth. I am very particular when it comes to stand-up. I don't want to hear some jokes that my uncle could make. Talk about comedy from a different perspective. And I don't want to oversell
it. I want to hear what's real.
Thank you.
What's going on today?
Well, Doug Stanhope, this CD is great. And I'll tell you what, we had a lot of them. They're flying off the shelves like crazy. And if you want to give us a call right now,
they're
available. You
know what I love about it is the cover. The cover just grabs you immediately because it's colorful.
Brian, I'm going to have to interrupt you to interject. Talk about the cover of that CD. It's artwork. And this is the type of...
It makes you think right before you even listen to a word.
You know, Brian, I'm going to tell you this. I know everyone loves to talk about, and boy, isn't it true, about the comedians from the past. And they talk about, you know...
Red Buckles.
Red Buckles was good. He was great. But I'll tell you what.
Archie Manning.
This is a CD that's going to stand the test of time. This CD is interesting. And I'm going to tell you what. Where do they get it, Brian?
You know what? They get it right here on QVC.
Well,
or at DougStanhope.com, which you probably can't. Where do they get it? I'm sorry,
no, it's
did I fuck up.
It's a DVD. What did I say?
It's
CD. Oh, one of my producers.
Oh my God.
They would even mess. When they mess up on that show, they even get out of the mess up in a gross way. They'll be like, "Oh, one of my producers."
You know what?
Told
right
me.
Here, I have the original concubine. That joke would work if I knew the nomenclature for the thing.
Brian, I gotta interrupt.
Shattered
you.
The thing in the. That's an old.
Brian,
thing.
And I'll tell you what. With Christmas coming up, what do you get people for Christmas, for Hanukkah? You know, it's so often if you only have a limited budget, what can you get somebody
something that they're going to keep around and listen to and listen to.
You know what? It doesn't matter if it's Hanukkah or Christmas, because this joke, this
comedy, you meant to say.
I got you. I got taller. I got tongue-tied. You know, it's the middle of the night here.
Brian, I got to interrupt you. We're going to take a call. Caller, go ahead.
Hello? Is that... I just want you to know that I do the worst voices in the world. But this is all I can do. I bought 35.
By the way, you notice all the people that call in are always exactly what the producers want. You know they're fake because they'll literally say shit like this.
Hello, yes. First of all, I love your show.
Okay, there's no fucking show. It's not a show. It's a sales. They're selling shit. It's like, what's your other favorite show? Target?
Yes. Hello, I just wanted to say I bought 45 of the Doug Stanhope hour-long DVDs. And they're just nice to have as stocking stuffers.
Yeah, well, when the producer's one of them. Yeah, well. All right, everybody, hello's one of them. Yeah, well.
How many voices do you have, lady?
What the fuck was that? Oh my God, Doug! Hello. Shut the music off.
The funniest part of that is Brian was filming in the whole thing, not knowing what was happening.
Hold on, I gotta explain to people what just happened. Okay, so, stop. Everyone,
I can explain what happened.
That was really weird.
I know, I can explain what happened.
That's never happened in the whole time we've done this show.
There's a loop function on the voice box, on the effects that we have, that we didn't know about, that you accidentally hit. So it starts recording everything you say, and then it loops it.
We should do it again.
This is the echo I need to sing. I'm not even joking. If I have the right echo,
Wait, can we stop and talk about that for a little more?
Yeah, no. I don't know what you pressed.
That was just...
But somehow you recorded.
Daniel, important that people know none of it was planned.
No, that was absolutely not planned.
That was the weirdest thing in the world to me, because... I didn't know what was going on. I was looking around the room at everybody. Will people listening get to understand them?
Yes.
That'll be great.
We have to leave that in. I don't know how you did that.
There will be one guy on mushrooms that does kill himself. And maybe other people. But you know what? Ratings are ratings.
All right, we're good.
Wow, that was great.
I still have two things...
Doug's got stuff on his list. Come on.
Hold on.
Well, actually,
when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high.
That's a subtle jab at the fact I can't get it up when I'm drinking.
All right, let's calm down.
You have...
My manager wrote Mandy Patinkin on my list while I was out smoking to fuck with me.
Oh. I was hoping you'd have a story.
Daniel, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Is that funny to me? All right, Doug, it's all about you now. What do you want?
We got half an hour left.
Tell us about when you blew a transvestite.
Come on, boring.
What do you have on your list that you want to get to?
I blew a transvestite. Is that what transvestites are out there for? Wow, I hope someone blows me now that I'm a lady.
When I was a boy, just
Do you know this song? Did you write this? Did you write this?
It's not your face. No, I didn't write this.
You didn't write this?
No, I...
Can you shut up and listen? And maybe you did write it. Listen. Listen up. Did you write it?
No. No one
you sure? Just to make a laugh. Hey, you think Samuel L. Jackson could do this? Like, if more as a, like a theater piece?
You know what's the matter with you? Hey! You got no respect? What do you think you do? Why you looking so sad?
It's real.
It's not so bad. It's a nice place.
Is that really?
Shut up your face. Yes. Someone asked him in some interview in the UK, I think, like comedically, like, hey, what would you do if you had to do that as a serious piece? And I think I'm pretty close, but how cool is that?
That's very funny.
What's the matter with you, huh?
See, you set me up wrong. I thought I was trying to help that by yelling out, but you should have said, hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson doing shut up your face. And I'd have shut up on my face. But I did not. I did not because I am.
You didn't ruin it. It was great. You want to hear it again?
No.
What's the matter with you?
No. As the guy in the van listening to this podcast on a 3-week tour, going, I love Todd. No, don't play it again. We got it. Move on.
But you know what? I would do.
We're 30 miles from Des Moines. Don't play it again. Go to something new.
Hey, you got no respect. What do you think you do? Why you looking so sad? It's not so bad. It's a nice place. Now shut up or you face.
Do you want me to play the real one?
What you're doing is you're fucking with me because
I know
that I've been doing shut up your face as a bit because I have no new material.
Do you want to sing it yourself?
No, I've been doing that on the road and you know that. I do this whole bit, and now you're fucking with me because you know I stole Samuel L. Jackson's material.
Doug closes right. With it now.
I'm losing control. I wish I could smoke so bad. Can I have one cigarette?
No, wait. Todd Glass can't have a cigarette.
One, I
but
bet I can
Todd
have...
Glass's dad can have a cigarette.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna start playing baseball, and you tell me what to do. I'm playing baseball. You tell me what to do, Dad. You tell me what to do.
By the way, you're gonna know I have some strength, Doug. That could be the funniest fucking thing that's ever happened on this show. The fact that he would set me up. Hey, you're just doing a bit. I'm playing. Keep your eye on the ball, son.
I don't know what to
do, Dad. God, I want to do it so bad.
No, you gotta do it, Dad. You gotta do it for me. I won't know how to keep my.
If I don't inhale, it's not a big deal.
Man,
I won't do it. You know, I'll tell you why I don't smoke. Sit down.
Because you had a heart attack.
No, that's not the only reason.
Oh, I forgot about the heart attack.
Tom Likas. Sorry. 365-4100. You're listening to the Tom Likas Show.
Westwood One in Culver City.
I've got gravy in my neck, America.
Tom Likas Show.
Hello, Tom.
I am fat, but
I'm fat. I've got gravy in my neck.
I'll have 2 double cheeseburgers with a side of fries, bacon, mayonnaise, Coca-Cola, and I want it supersized. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? You're a pussy.
My girlfriend's a whore.
I don't care.
It's the Tom. Tom Likas Show.
Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just witnessed Todd losing control. Okay. We got to go in for the descent. This is going to be probably a double show. Oh, Doug, I've boy, boy.
Wait, Doug has dates.
I need to plug Celebrity Death Pool.
You can, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you one thing about the people that listen to the show. I know, first of all, they're kind and they're decent. And
They want to know where you're at. So I know I'm like you too. You're like, oh, I want to plug stuff. I don't want you to hurry.
I don't give a shit if you come to my shows. I'm not here.
I care. You shut his mic off.
Show.
Shut his fucking mic off.
I care. I want people to go to your show. So where? What do you got?
I'm somewhere. Go to my website.
Doug, do you have a lot of? Are you making more money than you thought you'd make right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Are you enjoying it?
But I also moved to a place where the money I make is a lot of money.
Good, because you know I talked to Jeff Tate. I go, how big the theaters? are they? Is he selling out? Is
theaters?
Like,
yes, no, we work.
No, there's theaters too. Don't be yeah.
some yes.
music venues, some theaters, some comedy clubs.
And
I get
some
it.
Some of the worst fucking. Ask him about Fargo, North Dakota.
But
the Nestor's Tavern.
But a guy like, if you live modestly.
I do.
You should be okay right now.
Yeah, I don't have children.
You have any debt?
No.
No debt at all?
Well, yeah, I still...
Why?
Well, you don't know what he's about to say.
Because,
oh, house is debt.
Because I bought a third house for my...
he's got rich people debt.
No, you don't. What happened? Why do you have debt? Be honest.
I was being honest.
I'm going to listen.
I have no other curve. Yeah, there was a house... There was a house two blocks over that had a pool, like a lap pool. And a good friend of ours in the small town I live in is horribly overweight. And the only way he can exercise is to swim. So I bought a house so he could swim.
That's awesome. So how old is, how much is he, what is his name?
Neighbor Dave.
Is this the true story?
Yes.
And how much does he,
my fans know Neighbor
Dave.
How
much does he weigh?
Now he's under 300 now.
Let me tell you something. If you think I'm going to make a joke, you're fucking wrong. I love something like this. Do you think he's going to be able to do it? Is he on his way down to losing weight and you're watching it and getting to be a part of it?
Not good enough. But I don't want to bust his balls the same way he doesn't want to bust my balls about smoking cigarettes when I wake up wheezing.
Doug.
I can't sleep with earplugs because my lungs gurgle.
Hello. Doug. I'm agreeing with you. I said the same thing. I have empathy for people that are heavy because I said the same thing. I used to smoke cigarettes. And it doesn't mean they shouldn't lose weight, and that doesn't mean it's not unhealthy, and that doesn't mean that it's going to kill them if they don't lose weight. That's not the point. The point is you smoke, and Doug, I know you're a smart guy, but you smoke. I smoked. I'm not a dumb guy. So people that are heavy, it's the same thing. So when people look at someone that's heavy and they go, oh, my God, they're going to kill them. They should lose weight. Yeah, they get it. People that are overweight get it, but it's fucking hard. I just think I'm not 500 pounds because I'm lucky. Because let me tell you something. If you saw what I ate, I mean, it's –
I called
a lot.
You today and you were in the gym.
Yeah, eating. Is there a comedian that you don't like but you're not afraid to not say it? Like there's a few people. You don't want to say it because you like them. Is there anybody – like I try to get you going here. Is there anybody like you're like, I'll say it, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, I would.
I'm not going to join in, but I want to hear what you have to say.
I've been out of comedy for so long that I long for someone to hate.
Who is it – there's a lot of comedians you admire, right?
Dane Cook.
But no,
wait. No,
but that's so.
Listen.
Okay.
I like Dane Cook. I was so far. Like, he was my nemesis where it started at the San Francisco Comedy Competition in 95. And Barry Katz, who I've already name checked on this, it's like, hey, my guy's going to do that against you. You want to bet prize money? Is a long story.
Hey, it's Barry Katz. Doug owes me commission.
But I saw him at the improv, and he was trying to bet me money on me against his guy, Dane Cook. That's where the whole thing started in 95. So I've loved to hate Dane Cook before he was ever known. So he was like a nemesis of mine. But now Jeff Dunham would be a guy I would go.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Wait, he talked about
you. Do you don't think that Jeff, like anybody that is out to see Jeff Dunham, you realize that those people would have no interest in seeing you or Todd?
Yes, I've
like
always
he's
said
literally
that.
Taking no money from you.
I know. That's what I've always said about Dane Cook or
also
Larry
true.
The Cable
yeah,
Guy.
Right.
Everyone who's hated throughout the years, I don't actually hate you. I hate the people who go, oh, that guy's so good.
Right.
I hate their audience.
Right. It's like you can't really hate Pepsi, but you can, you know, hate the people who choose to consume it 24 hours a day. And
then if you move into a place like Carlos Mencia, which was the big thing. All right, oh, he's a thief, but he doesn't do anything good, so you can only pick one side or the other. Is he stealing my material? If he is, he's stealing shit material because he's shit. So you can't go
both ways. Yeah, we've always said that. It's like, why is your biggest problem with Carlos Mencia the fact that he might have stolen jokes? What about all the racist, stereotypical bullshit that he's
Someone said the best thing he is a bad stand-up. And then socially it goes down
and
from there.
And he's had to steal it. Like, okay, if he did steal it,
that's Doug Stanhope, ladies and gentlemen. Send your emails to him. I love everybody.
Hey, oh my God, what's wrong? Why would I come on in the middle like this? I never come on in the middle, very rarely. Why am I coming on? Well, I'll tell you. Remember that loop, the loop chaos you've heard when I press that button by accident? It ends up, I might have not pressed it by accident, just might have had a little glitch. No, it's not really my fault is what I'm trying to say. But we left in the one because, yeah, it was chaotic, but it was sort of understood. It was chaos you could understand. The others, it wasn't. So that's why I'm here, taking you from what you were just hearing, from what you're about to hear, the close of the show. Yes, you've heard me sing, "When You Walk Through a Storm." But now you're about to hear Doug's manager sing with his Irish accent, which makes it all that best. I think it was an Irish accent. And then you hear us all. It's not the most beautiful thing in the world, but you know what? It is because I love that song. So you hear Doug in the background rallying us as we sing, and that's the close of the show. Yeah. Anyway, it was fun. So that's it. So here you go. Take it away.
Okay, watch your language. Chris Hardwick doesn't like me to curse. Matter of fact, we should play this. No, okay. Can you turn it around? Well, Brian,
you don't know the lyrics.
I don't know the lyrics either.
If you guys are supposed to stand there and sing, it'll pick
you
up.
In that case, what exactly are you looking at?
I'm looking at the lyrics. I want to hear you sing it. Can you give him your mic?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, start it from the beginning, and I want to hear, Brian, you give it your best. Yeah. Don't be shy. If you're good, you're good.
I'm not a Liverpool fan.
He begged his way into this show.
You're in the safest zone, Brian, that you could possibly be in right now.
I'm a bringer.
Wait, say that again. This is a bringer? But I want to hear, because with that accent, so you, there you go. Okay, here we go. Give him this music. Oh, he doesn't have headsets.
Oh, here, you're.
Oh, no, Kid Daniel, hold on.
Oh,
no.
I got a headset.
No, hold on. Here we go. Shh. Everybody, we're not editing anything out of this, so we're going 2.5 hours today. So, all right, there we go. Okay, go ahead. Start it over. You have to get close to the mic, though.
When you walk. Liverpool! Through a storm, hold your head,
yes!
up high, and don't be afraid of the dark.
He's good. One more time, we're fearing.
At the end,
the meanest Chinese director.
Of a storm, there's a golden sky.
Are your testicles in your pocket?
And the sweet silver song of a lark.
Now you move me.
Walk on.
Take you to your grave!
That could have been the. Hold on, wait. Fade it out.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.